Good morning, everybody. The share this morning is dedicated by Ruben Blythe in memory of his father and his grandfather. His father is a dying official with Shlomo Shachner. And grandfather, Sholem Shachner ben Chaim. And one of them, the Yurtzeit, is today. So we are learning the Zeche. Did I get it right?
Eventually.
Let's do it again. Ben Sholem Shachner. That Yurtzeit is?
Friday.
And Sholem Shachner ben Chaim? That's Thursday. Okay. Right. Our learning should be the Ilui Nishmatam.
They're from Williamsburg, and before that from Tarnopol.
They were from Tarnopol, and from Tarnopol they made it to Williamsburg.
Commercial rabbi?
Lane, you didn't have to tell me that. And Michael, you didn't have to raise this. Everybody must know that today is Tuesday. The significance of this Tuesday, it's the day before Wednesday. And Wednesday night, tomorrow night, is going to be the great event of Neve Avraham. And Elaine is our representative of Neve Avraham. I have the unique, I don't want to say pleasure, but I was moved. I typed in Neve Avraham, and then the first thing that came up is a video, a very, very moving video of what Neve Avraham, which is in Kiryat Arba, named after Avraham Avinu, no less. And here it is, Parshas Noach, at the end of Parshas Noach. We finally come face to face with Avraham, and it's an institution for special children of all sorts that have all sorts of problems, and ultimately they attempt to mainstream as many as they can. And it's just such a moving film to watch how the people who work with these children do it. Really, really, Elaine, you got on for a very good thing over here. So, of course, only the most extreme circumstances will keep anybody away from tomorrow night's event at Old Nechama, Rehov Chopin number 3. Prizes. The biggest prize is to be a partner with Neve Avraham in assisting these children.
And if you can come tomorrow, I have raffle tickets here for sale after the shiur.
If you can't come tomorrow, then Elaine has raffle tickets that you can buy every class.
1 for 10, 6 for 50,
15
for 100.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. I'm afraid that it never changes. Year after year, it's the same first pasuk in Parshat Noach, and it's the same Rashi. And I have difficulty getting past that first pasuk and that first Rashi. Okay. Elah told us, Noach, these are the generations of Noach. Noach is tzaddik. Noach was a righteous man. Tamim, perfect. Hayavid orotavid generations. Etha Elohim Aleit Noach. Noach walked with God. So there we have the Rashi. It's not really the first Rashi, but the one that we've dealt with, I don't know how many years already, but there's always something different. B'doro Tav. Noach was a righteous and a good man in his generations. Rashi says, Yesh made Avotenu, it must be, everybody must know this Rashi, everybody. Yes, Ve'altenu, there are those among our rabbis, Dorshim Otav L'Shvach, who expound this word in his generation as praise, that this is speaking in Noach's praise. Meaning the following, if he was a righteous man in a generation that was steeped in evil as the generation of the flood, oy, can you imagine how righteous and how pious and how good he would be when he would be living in a generation where there was no contradiction between goodness and the street. There was no hostility between them, where on the contrary, the atmosphere, the environment, the community, the civilization supported the ideas of goodness and morality. So if Noah is a tzaddik in such such a terrible generation, Kolskein, all the more so, in Ohio, the dark tzaddikim, if he would have been in the generation of the righteous. Hoya tzaddik yoter, he would have been even more righteous. V'yeshu dorshim oto, and there are those who expound this word in his generations, lignai, as deprecation of Noah. You see, because the word Dorotav really, you know what? The word Dorotav is unnecessary. What would have been if the Torah would have said, these are the generations of Noah. Noah ish tzadik tamim. Noah was a righteous man. Et Elokim hitalech Noah. He went with God. What do I need the word Hayat B'dorotav? Now, so Hayat B'dorotav means that there is either something is being said that limits his piety, or it could be read as something that expands his piety. The first opinion that Rashi says is, if in his generation he was pious, oh, what he would have been in the generation of the truly pious people. And then there are those that yesh dorshim otol lignai, there are those who expound it as a negative assessment of Noah. Lefi Doro, Hoya Tzadik, according to his generation, and a generation like Noah's. Noah was a tzaddik in that kind of a generation, you know. So we're looking at the best of the generation. So the best of the Torah Mabel is Noah's generation of the flood. Ve'ilu Hoya V'Doros of Aham, would he have been in the generation of Aflom? Loya Nafshav L'Chlom, it wouldn't mean anything. Nobody could look at it. There's a big difference between these two opinions. A very big difference. Lawyer Nasha Lukum, you wouldn't have been meant anything. And then you always wonder what Rashi means in the next Rashi says, Et Elokim Italeh Noach. Noach went with God, Uba Avraham Hu Omer. But by Avraham it says, God tells Avraham, Hitalech lefanai, walk before me. Walk before me. So Rashi says, here is the difference between Avraham and Noach. Noach hayotzor lichsav letomcho. Noach needed support to keep him going. Et Elokim, he walked with God. He walked closely with him. He needed that support and that strength. Avram could strengthen himself and walk in his own righteousness on his own. Here it seems clear that there are two things over here. First of all, it's a matter of comparing out Noach to Avram. But then there's another way to look at it. Why compare him? Why compare Noach to Avram? There was not like Avraham. Why do I necessarily have to compare it? It seems that the pasuk, by using the words et Elokim, et halet Noach, the Noach, walk with God, it already demands that we make that kind of a comparison. He does not compare to our fault. Already doesn't compare to our fault. But then again, yes.
How come Noah had a knowledge of Hashem while Avram had to find it for himself?
Question is, why did Noah know of the existence of God? And Avram, as we often describe in the words of the Rambam, was born into a community that didn't know God, and he had to discover God on his own. The easy answer that I can give you is that from Noah to Avram, there were another 10 generations. And in those 10 generations, it was enough time for God to have been completely forgotten from the face of this earth. For that matter, the only ones who remained in the day of Avram, Shem was still alive when Avram was born. Shem was still alive. Aver was still alive. Now, I started this year wanting to say nice things about Noah, and I'm going to still do it. But in a sense, it would seem that Shem and Aver were not the powerful personalities who shared their knowledge with the rest of the world. Avram's greatness was not only discovering God. Avram's greatness was that he had the courage to share it with the whole world. Shem and Aver, I don't want to judge them. They had lived through a generation of the flood. They lived through the generation of the Tower of Babel. They had lived through so many vicissitudes of life. They were not the ones that were going to bring the great message to the world. To Avram. All right, but Rashi's two opinions on the meaning of the Dorotav in his generations. God, Rashi said, there are those who say in his generations is complementary to Noah. And there are others who say in his generation is not complementary to Noah. In his generation, he was a tzaddik. In another generation, wouldn't have given him a second look. Does Rashi take a position here? See, the problem, of course, is the following. If you can be Dodesh Lishvach, if you can say that the Pasuk is telling us something nice about Noah, why go and look to find some way of saying that the Pasuk is denigrating him? Obviously, the one who says it's deprecating to Noah is because that word, Bedorotav, it's just sticking in there in the Pasuk. It's sort of foreign to the Pasuk. Pasuk would have been so much simpler without it. The Bedorotav seems to be saying, no, in his generation. But does Rashi take a position on this? So I claim Rashi definitely takes a position. And it's very subtle. And it's very beautiful. Because the Rashi is based on number two. It's a Gemara. There we have in one line the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Bedorotav. The Gemara says, Mahu Bedorotav. What does in his generation mean? Rabbi Yochanan Omar. Rabbi Yochanan said, Bedorotav. In his generations he was a tzaddik. Velo Bedorot Achayim, but not in other generations. Resh Lakish Omar. Resh Lakish said, Bedorotav. In his generation he was a tzaddik. The calls came Bedorot Achayim, and certainly in other generations. Now, this is the source for what Rashi says. Now, Rashi did two things to this Gemara. What are the two things Rashi did to this Gemara? One, he reverses the order. What's the first opinion in the Gemara? The first opinion in the Gemara is, in his generation he was a tzaddik, other generations he wouldn't be. That's the second opinion that Rashi says, but in the Gemara it's the first. And the second in the Gemara is the first in Rashi. And then another thing Rashi does. Rashi removes the names of the rabbis who said what? in the Gemara, it's Rav Yochanan and Mishpachim. Rashi knows that. I have to finish by virtue of the fact that Rashi puts the complementary opinion first. He wants to tell us that sort of the weight of the psukim and everything seems to indicate that that's the way to go. Now, there's a great deal more to be said on this Gemara, and I'm working on another shiva that will probably take till next year, you understand? I can do all sorts of fancy stepping and get Noach into Korach someplace, but I don't know if I'll be able to do that. What's fascinating over here is the following. Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish. I've been making the study of these two people. Reish Lakish was a thief, a highwayman, a ganef, a terrorist. He was very, very bad news. And the Gemara says that one day Reb Yochanan was swimming in the Jordan, and Reish Lakish came to the river. He took off all of his, his knives and his spears and his swords, and he jumped into the river, and he meets up with Reb Yochanan. Reb Yochanan is the god of Israel, and this Reish Lakish is the lowest of the low. And there's a strange conversation that takes place between the two. Reb Yochanan says to him, Chel Choli Oraito, your strength should be used for Torah. Pretty strange. Reish Lakish responds by saying to Reb Yochanan, the Gemara describes that Reb Yochanan was extremely good looking. And he says, Chel Chol, your strength is the notion for women. Reb Yochanan responds to Reish Lakish, and he tells him, if you do tshuva and start studying Torah, I will give you my sister's hand in marriage, and she's far, far more beautiful than I am. And Reish Lakish says yes. They're standing in the Jordan, and Reish Lakish says yes. And then he wanted to go back to the other side of the Jordan in order to get his clothing, and he had difficulty. All of a sudden, the mighty, he was a gladiator, the mighty man, all of a sudden became weak. Torah Mateshes, Torah weakens the strength of man. The very fact that he decided that he was going to study Torah, and of course not only did he become a god of Yisrael, he became the great antagonist of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. There are a few rabbis upon which the entire structure of Talmud, Bavli, and Yerushalmi stand. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. The Jordan. And I'm going off into. I tell you what I want to say. Reish Lakish understood the neshama of a Baal Shiva. Reish Lakish was the one who was able to rise to awesome greatness, even though he was coming from a society of thieves, evil, evil people. He judges Noah far, far more warmly than Reb Yochanan does. Reb Yochanan has demands, you know? Reish Lakish, by the way, throughout all of Torah, Reish Lakish comes up with the most shocking, powerful statements. For example, the statement that when a person does real tshuva, Zidonos Nasalok is a chayot. Even the sins that a person had done with absolute intent of wickedness all become mitzvahs, because his tshuva, therefore, that comes from such evil, becomes completely changed. And there are a lot of things that Reish Lakish have to say, but have a feeling that Rashi number one didn't want us to know who said what, so that we should be able to judge it without going into figuring out who Rabbi Yochanan was and who Rish Lakish was, and maybe why they said it. But right now, every year I take a different approach. For the last number of years, it's been an up year for Noach. I feel much more comfortable with that, so today's shiur is also going to be one up for Noach. Let's see. Let's take a look at number five. I kept moving around these things. Cleopatra says the following. God tells Noah that all of animal kind, representatives of all of animal kind, are going to come into the ark. And you're going to have to provide for them. You're going to have to provide for them. Feed them. Sustain them. Kach l'cha mikol ma'achal. Take unto you from all kinds of provision, all kinds of food. So the Klei Yorah says the word l'cha, take unto you, means mashma mishalcha, of your own. Lo mishalachedim, not that which comes from somebody else. And the proof that he brings to this, a famous halacha. The famous halacha by Lulav and Esrei, the halacha is, Lulav and Esrei have to belong to you, because it says, you should take unto you, lecha, it says, pre-eitz hodar, and kapas tamar, and ma'af eitz hodar, lecha, from there we learn it has to belong to you, and therefore for that reason, you can't give it to a child underage on the first day, because they cannot acquire it, they cannot return it to you. Lecha, it has to belong to you. So therefore he says over here, God says to Noah, kach lecha. So he says, lecha, mashem mishalcha, lo mishalachem, not from anybody else, kederach mishalachem, as it says by the Arbat meaning. Lulav Esrei, Karas Arava, Kadesh. Why does Hashem have to tell him it should be yours? Why does it have to belong to you? So the Kliyoga says, Kadesh Lo Yachshov Noach. It's an art. Shouldn't think, Hare Hayom Mocha, Yamutu Kulam, Mamonam Kol. A very strange thing. He says, listen, Noach might think to himself today or tomorrow, any day now, all the rest of mankind is going to, they're going to die in the flood. They won't have any use for their money. You know, Noah already understood in his days that nobody takes it with them. They're going to die. And therefore, Sarkadar the Chamina, he might have thought, Shemuta likach mishalahem, that he can go take from other people. It's not going to do you any good anymore. You're finished. Talmud Lama, therefore, Torah said, no, don't think that, Noah. Kach lecha, mishalcha davke. Take from yours davke. L'hagdil ha'netz. And that makes the nest even greater. From his personal fortune, whatever it was, he was going to have to provide for a whole year for all of animal kind. That's awesome. It's awesome. Makes the nest even greater. Ava pisha kefi ha'teva, lo yaspid ki im l'chol levan. Even though in the natural order of things, whatever you have will be enough for you. Sharei vader lo hoyo l'noach motarot. Noach didn't have an overabundance of money. Mikoma ha'matzah ha'nes. Yishlach Hashem et ha'brocha ba'asavecha. Ah, whatever he puts together, God will send blessing in it, and it is going to provide for everybody. V'hoyo l'cheh, l'chov olehem l'ochla. Pasuk says by Noah, God says it will be for you and for them to eat. V'chein ase l'cho teva. The word l'cho is also, it's the word l'cho is used also by the ark. Ase l'cho teva, make unto you an ark. So v'derech ha'teva tochilo l'chalavad. The kind of ark you're going to make can only hold you. Can you imagine that went into that table, it was all miracle. It was all miracle. So don't think that this was some kind of a big boat that was able to hold the wall. We know exactly what the dimensions of it were. This was not a big boat. Yes.
He wasn't allowed to take only from his own money, because it's written Lo nigzar dinam ela ala Hamas.
Oh, I guess it. To say that? Wait a minute. Just let me go the next step. Okay, I'm setting it. I remember one of the first Musa Shmuza I heard in Yeshiva about 55 years ago. The Loreshim could have told him to make a robot. He could have made a robot. You think that the teva that he had to build was any more suited to hold all of animal kind in it than a robot would have been? No. No. We know the exact dimensions. It was all a miracle. It was all a miracle. It says even here with regard to the provisions, it was all a miracle. Now let's go step by step. So now we know what the Kli Yarmo says. That Kach Lecha means that Noah had to provide for all of animal kind from that which belongs to him. Why? He says, because if God wouldn't have said Lecha, Noah might have thought that he can take from that which belongs to anybody else, because those poor people out there are not going to have any use for their money. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the Tzadik Levach, the Mashgiach, the Biri Yeshiva, past Mashgiach, the last generation, asks a number of questions on this Kli Yarmo. Number one, he asks, how could it ever have occurred to the Kli Yarmo to think that Noach would permit himself to take from that which belongs to others? As Malka just said, Lo nechtam gzardinam ela al hagezel. The final decree against the generation of the flood was because of theft. As it says, Kimala ha'aretz chomos, the world had become full of the violence of theft. Are we to assume that the tzaddik tamim Noach is going to steal in order to provide for all animal kind? Just as Leipzig nicht auf den Seichel. It just doesn't make any sense. Furthermore, this may even be more important. Noah didn't believe that God was going to clean the marble. Noah, until the very last moment, was hoping it wouldn't happen. So you're going to tell me that Noah has already decided that they're all dying, and therefore anything that belongs to them, they're going to have no use of it, and therefore I can take it. And we have a number of proofs of this. Take a look. Rashi, number 3. The pasuk says that Noah went into the ark mipnei me'amabel, because of the waters of the flood. And Rashi says, what do you mean because of the waters of the flood? God had told him to go into the ark. What do you mean he's going into the ark because of the waters of the flood? So Rashi says, af Noah miktanei amon ahaya. Noah also was one of those. I want to read it as it says it here, because we're going to explain it in a bit of a different way. Noah was also one of those with little faith. Mamin ve'eno mamin shigavo hamabul. He believed, and he didn't believe, that the flood would come. V'lo nichnas la'tevon, he did not enter the ark. Ad shedechoku ha'mayim. He didn't go into the ark until the waters pushed him into the ark. So when you read this Rashi as it is right now, Noah also was not such a believer. You know, this may seem to be a very negative comment. Ketani Amona, small believer that the Mabul would come. Now Rav Chaim says correctly. No, that's not what Rashi means. You know what Rashi means? Noach didn't believe that God was going to destroy all of mankind. Noach believed that at the last minute God's compassion was going to outweigh all of the negative aspects of the world. He's been suffering for them for 10 generations. He'll suffer another 10 generations. He can't believe that God is going to destroy mankind. Miketane Amono therefore does not mean he doesn't have faith. Oy, he has faith in the goodness of God. As Rashi says, that Noah had little faith that God was truly going to carry out the threat, then what's the Klei Yoga talking about? The Klei Yoga says that God has to tell him, take only from that which belongs to you, because Noah might have thought that he can take from that which belongs to others, because they're not going to have any use for it. But he can't say that about Noah, because Noah believed they were all going to live. Noah didn't believe that God was going to, in fact, destroy mankind. He had a tremendously optimistic outlook about God's goodness and mercy and compassion and his being long-suffering, his willingness to forgive. He didn't believe it. And then another Rashi, when the water begins to descend from heaven, it says, "Vayihi ha-geshem ha-haaretz," and the rain was upon the earth. U'lahalom hu-omer, later on it says, a few psukim later it says, "Vayiyamavu," there was a flood, and there was a flood upon the face of the earth for 40 days. Why does the Torah change its wording? First it says, "Vayiyageshem," there was rain, and then later it says, there was a flood. Ella! So Rashi says, because when God brought it down, he brought it down as rain, in the hope that until the last minute, maybe, they will repent, and therefore all this rain that's coming down is rain of blessing. Even God himself was waiting till the very last minute. Kisha Horidon, Horidon Menachem, and he brought them down with mercy, Shemgazu, so that the people would repent, Yiyu Gishmei Bracha, the rains would be rains of blessing. Ukshalo Chazu, but when the people did not repent, Hoyu Lamabu, the rains became a flood. So therefore, Rav Chaim says that cannot accept the words of the Klei Yoga. So what we have to find out is, if so, then we're left with the word that we have to understand. That word is Lecha. Kach Lecha. The Klei Yoga wants to explain what does the word Lecha. It has to be yours. So we have rejected that which the Klei Yoga says. So now we have to find another approach. We have to find out why indeed did it say Lecha. Okay. So the approach that's taken by Rav Chaim is a different approach. He says the following. There you have number seven. Number seven, you have the Gemara Masechta the Shabbat. We'll get back to that, Arachayim number six, we'll get back. Famous story, you all know the story. Gemara Masechta Shabbat, Shuv Maisi Benoch Yechot. There was another story with a non-Jew, Shepolif Nei Shammai, who came before Shammai and he said to him, "Gayereini, convert me, al menat shetlamdeni kol haTorah kula, kishani omeg al degel achad." Convert me on condition that you can teach me all of Torah as I stand on one leg. Dachbo ba'amas habinyan shebiyado. Shammai had a plane in his hand. You know, something that shows you if something is a level. He pushed him with the Amat HaBinyan that was in his hand. All of this has to be taken not literally. I don't believe for a moment that Shammai touched him at all. Shammai didn't push people around. And what's he doing with an Amat HaBinyan? We do know he may have been a Kaplan, but then if he'd be a Kaplan, he wouldn't use an Amat HaBinyan. If they use one, the walls would be straighter. So, what the Gemara means, we once gave, many years ago, we explained what indeed this means, that he pushed him with Amat HaBinyan. I'll say that in a moment. Volos de Hillel, he came to Hillel, Gaire, Hillel converted him, Amalo, and he tells him, Daloch Sani, that which is hateful to you, the famous Gemara. Daloch Sani, what's hateful to you, Lechavrech lo tavit, don't do it to your friend. Zuhi kala Torah, this is all of Torah. V'idoch peyushahu, and the rest is the commentary on Torah. Zil Gemor, go study. Go study. This is the famous Gemara. Now we can't, we're not going to go into an in-depth study of this Gemara now. But there's one thing from this Gemara that is important for us right now, and that is the Ger wasn't completely wrong. In what sense wasn't he wrong? In the sense that there are certain ideas in Torah that can incorporate and encompass within themselves the totality of all of Torah. There are basic ideas, fundamental ideas. There's a Gemara, I have it here, the Gemara, famous Gemara in the Sefer Makos, where the Gemara says that 613 mitzvahs were given to Moshe at Sinai. But David came and he condensed them to 11. Along came Yeshayahu and condensed it even further. Each one of them condensed it until we come to Habakkuk. Midon, all of Torah on one pillar, one idea, one thought. And that was Tzadik Be'emunato Yechyeh, the righteous one lives with his faith. The whole Gemara, it's a whole long Gemara over here, where the Gemara seems to be, in a sense, reducing Torah from 613 to 11 to 7 to 6 to 3 to 1. But it's not really reducing Torah at all. There's no change whatsoever taken in Torah. But in each generation, in different times, people are able to relate to Torah because of one great idea that emerges from it. And that's what Hillel did with this perspective gear. He wants some thought that embraces within it all the goodness and greatness of Torah. So he told them, Madaloch Sani Lechamrach Otavid, what is hateful to you, don't do to your fellow man.
What Sami was doing is build one on top of the other.
He wanted to build?
Build.
Well, I was thinking of something else. Hayek once said that there are two pillars upon which all of Torah stands. All of Yadon stands on two pillars. One is faith, plain, simple, powerful faith. And the other is the knowledge of God that man achieves through study, through looking at the world, through nature, through science, through history. The Ger, and during this Gemara, this fellow, this Ger, is a great intellect, a philosopher, a philosopher. He has arrived at the decision that there was a God, and he wants his Yiddishkeit to be based on that and that alone. Shammai tells him, this structure that is called Judaism stands on two pillars. Not enough your own intellectual decision. You know what else you need? You need to be able to develop faith. Elokeinu ve'elokei avoteinu. That God is our God. I find him in my own experience, and he's also the father of our father, Yitzchak and Yaakov. And what's Pshamai telling him? A building can't stand on one leg. The building that's Yaakov needs two legs. And when it says that he pushed him with the Amat HaBinyan, with the level, because he says, no, you want all of Yaakov to stand on one fisa over there? It's not going to succeed. When he comes to Hillel, so of course the great question is, when he comes to Hillel, why does Hillel not tell him simply, V'yahafta l'reachah k'vachah, love your friend as yourself, a pasuk in Torah? He translates it into Aramaic, and he comes the opposite way around. What's hateful to you, don't do to anybody else. And we said, if somebody would have told me something like that, I would have been insulted to the very core of my being. Imagine somebody telling me what's hateful to me, I shouldn't do to somebody else. How did it ever occur to you that I would want to do to somebody else something that's hateful to me? What a terrible thing! Hillel is saying to this Ger. You know what? The Ger doesn't get upset. The Ger most probably sees that Hillel understands the depth and the weakness of the great intellect. This great intellectual who wants to become a Jew is indeed the kind of person who in his great genius can do that which is hateful to him, he can do it to others, and he'll justify it. The acoustic cat in the world are the greatest intellectuals. How do I translate that? The most warped minds can be the greatest intellectuals. All of our intellectuals, the world of intellectuals, even Jewish intellectuals, are not anti-Semites and anti-Israel. What are you talking about? They're the worst of the worst. Hillel understands this. That's why he tells him, you better understand one thing. Anything that's hateful to you, you can't do to anybody else. If you know that, then you can begin to study Torah. The point of the Gemara is that there are certain principles that embrace and encompass within themselves the totality of Torah. All Torah will flow from it. All Torah will flow from the idea of love for fellow men. What else will flow from it is love of God can come from love of fellow men. Because love of fellow men has got to be based on the idea that every man is created in the image of God. If you see every human being as an image of God, despite all their attempts at erasing any trace of their image of God. But the fact is that man, it is created by God, and that's why you are supposed to love fellow men. It's very difficult, not too easy to love them all. Thank God at least the halacha sees that there are some that you don't really have to love. For that matter, there are even some you can hate. But we're not going to talk about that. Today is love here. Today is love. Alright? Now we're going to go to the next step. We're going to go to the step of love of God. And you're going to see where it's going to lead us to. Oh, where this is going to lead us. Number 8 is the Ramban. It's the Aseret HaDibrot LeOhavai ULeShomrei Mitzvotai. God says, I keep reward for those who love me and those who keep my commandments. Halfway through, it's on the line. Rabbi Natan Omer, LeOhavai, who are those who love me? Who are the ones who love God? Who are Shomrei Mitzvotai? Who are the ones that keep my commandments? Awesome Ramban. The Ramban says, El Shehen Yoshvin Be'eretz Yisrael, V'notnim Nashama Mitzvot. Those who live in Eretz Yisrael and they are ready to sacrifice for the mitzvahs. Malcho Yotzei Le'Hareg Al Shemalti Et B'ni. This was written at the time of the Roman persecutions. Why are you being taken out to be executed? And the answer is because I circumcised my son. Malchus Yosef and Sarif, why are you being taken to be burned at the stake? Al shekarati b'Torah, because I study Torah. Malchus Yosef mitzalein, and here is the proof that it's talking about the Roman period. Why are you being taken out to be crucified? Jews were crucified by Rome. Jews, hundreds of thousands of them. Malchus Yosef mitzalein, al shekarati et hamatzah, because I ate matzah, malcha loke mea pargal, another kind of punishment or torture. Al shenotalti et al lulav v'omer, asher hukeiti beit ma'avai, I was struck, I was hurt because of the one whom I love. Hamakot ha'elo gormu li le'ehov. These are the important words. All the whole Ramadan is important. Hamakot ha'elo, this suffering, the suffering of Jews in history, gormu li, they caused me le'ehov la'avisha b'shemayim, to love my father in heaven. Hare pirish, you know what Rav Nosson is saying? Hare pirish Rabbi Natan ki ahava misiyot ha'nefesh ala mitzvot. You know what love is? Love is expressed by the fact that I am willing to suffer in order to fulfill God's mitzvahs. That is the expression of love. And we'll see a deeper understanding of this right away. Hamakot ha'ele, this suffering that came upon me, gormuli, they caused that I should love my Father in heaven. And a pirish of nasim ki'ava misirat hanefesh al mitzvot ha'katuv. Okay, we're now ready for the next step. And this is the final step that's going to bring us to an understanding of Noah. A number of the Bali Musa say it, Rav Chaim says it, we're going to see right away that the Orcha Sadikim says it. Whom do we love? Do we love people who are nice to us and give us things? Or do we love people to whom we're nice and to whom we give?
To the second.
Malchus says it's the second. Real love is accomplished not by virtue of what I receive from somebody. Real love comes to the fore by virtue of what I do for somebody else. I love him because I do for him. I am ready to give of myself to him. Number 9, great piece of Orcha Sadikim. Orcha Sadikim was a Musa Sefer, goes back about 500 years. We have no idea who the author was. How will a man achieve the love of all people? I'm going to make you smart. I'm going to teach you. The way to achieve love. Completely different than what the world thinks. The world thinks love is, I love people, you're nice to me, you give me, no, just the opposite. That with his soul and with his money, he helps somebody else get the yicholto. Ha'ezer b'nafshohu shel yishodetz l'chol odom, assisting and serving everybody. Hein ani, hein asher, regardless whether he's poor or he's rich. V'yitrach avuram, and you should trouble yourself on behalf of a fellow human being. Ha'ezer b'mamono, who helping somebody out with money. Shiluach la'asher beit yitzar olamad. Yes, to lend or to give money to even a rich person at a time that he needs money. To the poor, he will lend them money at the time of their need. Or for the poor, he will give him He will give him a gift according to what he's capable of doing. And there are times that he even wants to send a gift, even to a wealthy person. He also needs to have this feeling that somebody cares about him. And they're not all out after his money. You know, very wealthy people can be very lonely people. And I can start crying for them now, but, you know, it could be a lonely existence. You know, everybody's out after me for my money. He needs a good heart, too. He needs it, too. V'yehei v'atron mishalo, ready to give for myself and somebody else. That's the way to develop love. V'yehei l'ot esek b'nei adam, yeh kol masal matam shalo b'nei amonot, if you're doing business with somebody, everything has to be done with trust and with faith. And you shouldn't go after small things. Don't. You have to let certain things slide. They're too small, too insignificant in the greater scheme of things. He should always want, I want that my friend should enjoy and benefit from me. It's not my job that I want to get something out of somebody else. That's not the way it's supposed to be. I'm supposed to make sure that somebody else should benefit from me. In Kobin Elam, a person should speak softly with all people. By Shuhu Adam, this is difficult. Somebody shames and embarrasses him, you don't embarrass him back. That's difficult. If somebody causes you to make a mistake, I don't have to take revenge by causing him to make a mistake. A person should carry the weight of the world upon him. He should not add to anybody else's weight. You shouldn't argue with people. You should receive everybody with joy and with a beautiful countenance. The smile strengthens the love between people. You should deal with somebody in order to make things good for him. You have to be there to comfort somebody at a time when he's down. He needs somebody who, you know, so machen good of an heart. In gilolo adam, so if a person reveal the secret, al yigalehu, don't ever reveal it to anybody else. Afim yach isuhu, even if he's going to cause you great anger, don't. And you think to yourself, you know what, he's causing me such pain, I'm going to go reveal that secret that I know about. Never will you dabber about them, never speak evil about somebody. Shouldn't listen when they speak evil about somebody else. This is one paragraph, but this is such a powerful paragraph. It's a prescription for all of life. For nearly every situation in which we get into during the course of a day, you should always try to find merit in people. You know, of course, what this brings me back to is you can be donesh noach l'schut. Why be donesh in lignah? That's really the difficulty with the first rabbi. That about being melamed schus on people. Being melamed schus on people, you have to be able to see that, no, you think he did something wrong. He didn't know. He was unaware. He really didn't mean it. That you have to be very careful of. V'oz ye'ov l'kol, then one will be loved by all. V'yechabek kol adam, one should honor every person, but masach will be dvorach, with word and with deed. V'lo yizgor al shum adam, you should not be about gaiva, think that you're so much better than everybody. Achi konet achas kol adam u'bakol yikavein l'shem shemayim. What am I doing all this? Why am I saying all this? Noach is going to be spending more than a year in the ark, and he's going to have to provide for and take care of all of animal kind. There's only one way he's going to be able to succeed. If he loves all of animal kind, he has to develop a profound, abiding, and deep love, so even if it means he's up a whole night, he has to make sure that the lion gets his, and the giraffe gets his, and this one's feeding time is now, and that one's feeding time is then. He must love the animal world, otherwise he'll never survive. How is he going to love? Where's he going to develop that love? Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, that's why the Rebbeinu told Noach, kach lecha. Everything that you're going to provide from them has to be from yours. You're going to give to them. You're going to give to them. And the more you give to them, the more you love them. And if you're able to achieve that love of all of God's creatures, then you're going to survive the more than 12 months in the ark. You're going to be able to accomplish the task that has been thrust upon you, and you will emerge. You will emerge to the light of day after that level, having done God's work for that whole year. But it can only be if you love them, and you can only love them by giving of yourself for them. Now, if this is not an introduction to Ellen's party tomorrow night, I can't think of anything better. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rabbi Gold. Rabbi Gold, wish your wife would work for me.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.